greatest song ever written. Chapter 5 and verse 2. Are we there? Let's read it together. Here we go. I slept, but my heart was awake. Listen, my lover is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless one. My head is drenched with dew and my hair with the dampness of the night. And then the beloved responds, I've taken off my robe. Must I put it on again? I've washed my feet. Must I soil them again? But my lover thrust his hand through the latch opening, and my heart began to pound for him. I arose to open for my lover, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with flowing myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened for my lover, but my lover had left. He was gone. And my heart sank at his departure. I looked for him, but did not find him, and I called him, but he didn't answer. This is a great story of the interaction between a man and a woman, but as well as a picture of how we interact with God. I want to show you just several things. Here's what I want to show this morning. And I always ask God what he wants to do. I'm very interested in what God is trying to do. How many of you know we come to church, God's trying to do something, right? We're not just showing up here to just, you know, put in our time. I did my 2 hours, you know, I've checked that off my list, and now God's not going to be mad at me. No. God has something that he's trying to get to us. Amen? You know that? He's passionate about wanting to speak to us. And so I always ask him what he's wanting to do. And if you'll allow me to not tell you, he didn't reveal it to me until he had spoken half, two-thirds of this message to me. And then he goes, here's what I'm doing. And I said, okay. And so I felt like he said, so don't tell him what I'm doing yet. It'll come out, okay? Is that all right? Will you allow me that? Because I usually try to tell people so we can labor together, but I feel like God has just said this morning, we'll discover that together. Is that okay? All right. But there's four things I want to notice here. Number one, our lover is passionate for us. He is zealous. He's the initiator. He's the one who comes knocking at our door. That's number one. Number two, our heart is awake. Amen? Our heart is awake to the Lord. But the third thing is we're going to see that sometimes we're not awake. And we're not really in tune with our heart. And fourthly, we need to see that there's a time when we catch up to our heart. When we can come to know what our heart has known all along. So I want to show you those things. First of all, he is zealous for us. Look at him initiating. This is our lover at the door. In the middle of the night, when you're asleep, it's Jesus who comes knocking. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I've heard so many people, you hear religious people all the time, they say, I pressed in and I found God. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that, but, you know, he came after you first. He's the one. What did Joe say this morning? Was quoting, I stand at the door and knock. It's he who is after us. He's the pursuer. He's the lover who has the zeal. And we see him. He's saying, listen to these words. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove. How many of you get a little embarrassed somebody calls you dove? That's the way he thinks of you. He calls you flawless one. Now, faith is believing what God has said. He calls you flawless one. How many times you argue with him on that? Man, have you seen me? He looks at you. He knows you better than anyone. And he looks at you and he says, you are my flawless one. You're perfect. Just the way I want you. You can feel his zeal coming out. He is zealous for us. And you know, you hear people say things in a romantic setting. How does it go? I'll climb the highest mountain. I would swim the widest river and collapse muddy on your carpet. You know, that whole, I would do all this for you. But Jesus did it. See, there's many a man professes a great love, but a true friend who can find? And Jesus is the one who, he has done it. He has proven. God has demonstrated his great love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I just want to rip through a few scriptures with you just to kind of underscore, because Greg has been laying and will continue to lay this foundation of the lover's zeal in a lover's context. But I want you to get is that when Jesus professes love to us, he puts his money where his mouth is. He is zealous for us to where he cannot sit still. We have a picture that Jesus is sitting in heaven, just kind of sitting. Jesus is passionate about us. And I just want to share a few scriptures with you. Hebrews. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down. See, he didn't sit down until after he had endured the cross on our behalf. Why did he do it? What was on his mind? What was the joy that was set before him? What was the zeal, the thing that drove him, the thing that compelled him to carry that cross up that hill? It was you. It was me. He said, they need me. And I can't quit now, and I can't stop. You know, Jesus used up all his strength. He loved you with all his strength. They put that cross on him, and he couldn't carry it anymore. I mean, he carried it as far as he could carry it. And he collapsed under the weight of the cross that I deserve to carry. And the Roman soldiers, you know, they don't just take it lightly. They made him carry it until they knew he could not carry it anymore. He didn't have any strength left. Now, there's people that will tell you, I love you, but I don't have many friends like that, that will carry the cross until all their strength is gone. That's how he loved us. His zeal caused him to do that. Isn't that awesome? That's my hero. 1 Peter says this. Jesus suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, it's by his wounds that you have been healed. For you were all like sheep going astray, but you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He bore our sins in his body. This is the gospel. This is the good news. He loved us so. God, what does it say? God so loved the world. He loved us so much that he gave his only son. Here's an interesting scripture, Isaiah 53. It says, and this is the Revised Standard says, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. It pleased the Lord to crush his only son. Why? Because he is zealous for us. Because he was not willing that any of us should perish, but that we all might come to a knowledge of the truth. He crushed his own son for us. He doesn't just have an empty sort of romantic notion of zeal. He's truly zealous. I want to skip over the next one and go to Isaiah 63. Listen to this, and you'll feel, I want you to feel with me, the zeal of the Lord for his people. Who is this coming from Edom? Are we there? Yes. Who is this coming from Edom? From Bozra, his garments stained crimson. Who is this, robed in splendor, striding forward with great in the greatness of strength? And this is the Lord. It is I, speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. So why are your garments red like those of one treading the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. From the nations, no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger and trod them down in my wrath. Their blood spattered my garments and I stained all my clothing. For the day of vengeance was in my heart and the year of my redemption has come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm worked salvation for me and my own wrath sustained me. I trampled the nations in my anger. In my wrath, I made them drunk and poured their blood on the ground. Can you hear the vengeance in his voice? I was watching One Night with the King with my wife the other night, and I just asked her, I said, "What? How many of you seen that? You like that movie? One Night with the King, story of Esther. See it." I asked her, I said, "What's your favorite part? What's one of your favorite parts in the story?" She said, "You know, one of my favorite parts is when Haman is there and he's, you know, getting after Esther. And out of nowhere, the king comes back in and he grabs Haman by the throat. And he just picks him up almost by the throat, you know." And I thought, well, that's a fairly violent thing for a woman. You know, I thought she'd say, "Oh, it's when Esther was being made beautiful," or, you know, some kind of thing. She says, "I love that. Because he came back for her. He didn't just say, 'I love you.' He came in and grabbed anything that got between her and her best. He grabbed him by the throat and said, 'No, sir. No, sir.'" And that's what this is. God says, "I looked around and my people were in trouble and they needed help. And there wasn't anybody else around. So I just stretched out my own arm. I worked salvation for myself. I went ahead and did it." You see, and that's the way God is. That's his zeal. In fact, in earlier in Isaiah, he says in 59, he says, "The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice, and he saw that there was no one, and he was appalled that there was no one else to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance, and he wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak." You see, when it comes to your safety and mine, to your well-being and mine, our lover will stop at nothing. He does not hold back. He does not pull punches. He is for us. And it's not just a lightweight sort of notion that he's just like, "Well, yeah, I really hope you do well." No, no, no. He's serious about us. That's zeal. And that's that same zeal that drives the lover to knock on our door. So back to our story. Is that good? Amen? You see it? Can you see how much he loves us? Because I think we know it, but I think we need to see that over and over again, maybe different ways. The second thing I want to notice is that our heart longs for him. Look at this. I was asleep, but my heart was awake. I was sleeping. My heart wasn't sleeping. Because here's this word. Listen, my lover is knocking. Who is it? Now, listen, in the context of this, who is it that said, "Listen, my lover is knocking"? Who spoke those words? Was it the person? Was it the beloved? What was the state of the beloved here? Asleep. Who said, "Listen, my lover is knocking"? It's your heart. Your heart always knows about God. Your heart always hears God. And that's, I want to show you just a few things, that there is a part of us, there's a piece of us born from heaven that always knows where God is, always is in tune with God. It's like from heaven, there's a tone struck, and inside of us is a tuning fork. And when that thing goes off, something inside of us goes, "Yes, I know that." I want to show you just a few examples of it from Scripture. Ephesians says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." How many of you know you have an inner being? And that God, in order to strengthen you, it's his Spirit, his power, and his Spirit in your inner being. It's down in there. There's a part of you that's always in tune with God. It says here in 1 Corinthians, I won't take the time to go through it all, but it says that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except for what? The man's spirit within him. And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And we have been given the Spirit of God. There's a piece of you. That's what I want to tell you. Sometimes, you know, you go through your life and you think, I wonder why things aren't going so great, or seems like I'm just out of touch, or I'm out of sync, or I can't quite get everything working. I got good news. Your heart is awake. You may be asleep, but your heart's awake. There's a piece of you that knows God, that can always find God in a minute. I'll give you an example. If I say to you, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, it doesn't even have to go through your mind for that. In fact, if I came to you and I said, no, Jesus Christ really wasn't raised from the dead, you wouldn't even do a logical process on that. You know what I mean? It never gets in your head. There's something inside you that goes, what's wrong with you? Are you an idiot? Of course he was. I know he was. It's down in here. You know what I'm saying? Every time somebody objected to a piece of your faith, you had to process it in your mind, you know, we'd go a little nuts. But there's something in me that goes, of course he did raise from the dead. Of course he is coming again. Of course he lived a holy life. I know that down in this thing that's in me. That piece of you is your heart, is the heart that's being referred to here, is always awake. Amen? You may be asleep. Matter of fact, I've been preaching a while, you may be asleep. You know, one church, a guy had a heart attack. They called the paramedics, so they revived three people before they got the right one. You may be asleep, but your heart is awake. Your heart is awake. Look at Galatians 5, says this, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. That's what the Scripture says. That those things are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Have you come to grips with that yet? You will never get to do what you want. How can I say that? Because if you're gratifying the sinful nature, if you're doing what you want, your spirit is upset. And so you're not doing what you want. But if you gratify the spirit and don't gratify the sinful nature, you're doing what you want, but your flesh is going to be angry, not doing what you want. You see, there's those two pieces of you. And so somebody's always going to go without. Right? So there's a part of you that's in tune with God, the spiritual man, the inner man, the heart, the thing that's tuned in with God. And then there's this other piece of us, the piece that's asleep, the piece that can be asleep. We'll see later in the story that the soul, the person became awake, and the ramifications of that. But Psalm 42 says that deep calls to deep. There's something in you that is connected to God. We were talking about quantum theory, and this does not, you know, my apologies to people who actually know quantum theory and know this is not exactly how it works. But the idea, because I'm just, you know, what do I know? Do I look like a guy who understands what quantum means? But the idea, I heard a guy say that if you charge two particles, if you take them and you charge them in a certain field, then they're always charged together. They're always connected. And you could take this one particle and you can run it to the other end of the universe. And when this particle moves, that particle moves. That's the way I understand it. We're like that. There's a piece of you that was born in heaven that was charged in the same field that those elders before the throne, when they jump off their thrones and they throw their crowns down, that same, you were charged in that. You're built with that. And you know, right here, right now in church, there's a piece of you that is in tune with that. How many of you know that at this moment in heaven, those elders are throwing their crowns down. That's happening. There are creatures saying, holy, 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 and there's glory everywhere. Now, we're sitting here and, you know, you may be looking at your watch or thinking about what you're going to have for lunch. But in heaven, that's really happening. I want to tell you, your heart knows that. Your heart is in tune with that. We were built in the same field. There's a piece of God that lives in us that knows that. And you ever, how many of you have been in a worship service sometimes and you're just sitting there and suddenly you just want to fall down? I just want to fall, you know, but you never do. Because that would be a lack of decorum. That would not be very respectable, or it doesn't seem like anybody else is doing this, so I'm just not going to do that. This is not what we do. Well, you know what? You missed it. Your heart knew right, and you didn't. Your heart was connected. They were, the elders are falling down, the angels are falling down, and somewhere else, maybe across the other side of Norcross, somebody else is falling down, but you're not falling down because you're asleep. There's a part of you that's asleep. I'll tell you now what God's trying to do. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to coax you out to live in your heart, to live out of your heart. Not out of that thing. And I want to talk to you about this. Let's talk about this thing. There's another piece of us where he says, I slept. I was asleep. My heart was awake. There's a piece of you, your soul, that is sleep. And listen, these are the words. I have taken off my robe. Must I put it on again? I've washed my feet. Must I soil them again? Listen, your lover is banging on the door. Come to you in the middle of the night. I'm out here. My head is drenched with dew. Let me in. It's time. Arise, my lover. Open for me. And your heart says, yes! And your soul says, what? Do you have any idea what time it is? The guy was asking everybody what time it was, and he was asked a few people, and the guy said, you know, that's probably not a good idea. Maybe we have an escapee. Maybe you need a watch. He said, no, I don't need a watch. I just ask people what time it is. And he said, well, what are you going to do at 2:30 in the morning? You know, you don't have anybody to ask. He said, oh, I play the trumpet. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I play the trumpet. And people go, hey, you have any idea what time it is? It's 2:30 in the morning. Your soul is asleep. Your soul doesn't always go with your heart. You see that? There's a part of you that's your heart. How many of you now, come on, am I alone? Am I the only one who's ever felt like I ought to do this thing? I feel like responding to God in this fashion, but there's this piece of you that says, no, 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 that's not respectable. This is not the arena. This is not where that happens. Other people aren't doing anything like that, so I'm just going to be cool. There's a piece of you that is apathetic, disinterested, and fussy. Your flesh, your soulish man, the unregenerate part of you, is fussy. Doesn't like to do all that crazy stuff. Not into that. But if you could peel back the curtain of heaven, they're falling on their faces. They're throwing their crowns down. They're shouting, holy! You know, so, but there's a piece of us doesn't like that. A piece that's slow to respond. You see what happened? She eventually got up. She did, but it was too late. As soon, I was asleep, but my heart woke me up saying, listen, listen, lover's knocking. That's what's happening here. You're just asleep, just not paying any attention. And your heart says to you, hey, out there, please, listen up. There's that part of you. You need to acknowledge that. You have a part of you that likes to operate on the plane of men that deals with what other people may think. I believe that's one of the greatest in a culture like ours where we are the richest nation on earth. I think that's why it's hard for the rich man to see the kingdom of heaven, because we have a sense of decorum. We want things to be just so, and, you know, keep all that, you know, other crazy emotional stuff to somebody else. Well, that's not zeal. I heard the Lord say this, so I'm just going to say it to you, and don't blame me, blame him. Your heart's getting sick of you. Really. Your heart is trying to live. Your heart is trying to respond to the lover. He's knocking on the door and your heart's going, please. He says, my heart began to pound. What does that mean? Hey! Can you not hear somebody out there? It wasn't the noise the lover was making. It's the noise my heart pounded for him. Your heart is pounding for heaven. I just want to tell you this. Please don't get feel judged. It's not that at all. Your heart is right. Your heart is good. You have been born from heaven. If you've been born again, you have in you that peace that loves God perfectly. But we have this little treasure down in this little clay jar that doesn't like to be broken, doesn't like to be opened. And so we have this struggle going on. Well, we need to decide who's going to win this struggle. We have to choose. Our soul is where we decide. It's our deciding mechanism. And so my deciding mechanism was asleep. And then when my deciding mechanism woke up, it said, hey, I just took off my clothes. I don't put my clothes back on. I've already washed my feet. I'm not going across the floor. That's down, that's built in. But your heart is pounding. Your heart is saying, wait, wait, listen, pay attention. Look, that's the lover. Get up. What's wrong with you? And your heart is right. Your heart's telling the truth. It says, my heart sank at his departure in verse 6. Or the footnote says, my heart had gone out to him. My heart had gone, when he spoke, my heart went out to him. What does that mean? That means it left you right there. Heart's outside with Jesus. You're laying there. Wake up. You're missing. Heart's having a good time. There is, and that's what I wanted to tell you, is there is a love story happening. It is happening. It's not like it might, or boy, I hope it does, or man, if I could just get all my stuff together. No, no, no. There is a connection between you and God, and it is. But if you're not enjoying it, it's because you're still asleep and your heart has gone out to Jesus. You need to wake up, get up and open the door before. We see here the lover goes. The lover moves on. Your heart is trying to live. Your heart is pounding. It's punching away at the walls of your inner man. We had a little picture of that, by the way. Great word this morning on repentance. I believe that's true, and I believe I can see the Lord sewing this thing together. Because shortly, I believe God is going to invite you. Those are the word. The word he gave me was coax. Trying to coax you out to live out of your heart. He's going to invite you. He's going to try to give you the equipment to do that. God wants to fill you up with his spirit so that it flows over and the part of you that's asleep will just be overflowed, just overwhelmed, overridden. That's the way I like it. I like God to just override me. Prepare your heart for that. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, about giving our hearts to God and allowing him to just fill us up to respond. You know, heaven is not hard to imagine because if you think about it like this, if I could take that piece of you away that's asleep, if I could suddenly just cut off your sinful nature that likes to be fussy and likes to be coddled and likes to not do all that, what's left? It's just your inner man. Well, your inner man is always right. Your inner man is always spot on. Your inner man lives in heaven already. I mean, it's like connected to God. You see, your spirit and His Holy Spirit they're mingled together. When He gave you new birth, now He's living in you, and they're together there. They're inseparable. If I could just cut your flesh away, you'd be Jesus. Amen? Because there's nothing left but the Spirit of God. Heaven's not hard to imagine. That's what it's going to be like. So, number one, He's after us. He's zealous for us. Number two, our heart is awake. But number three, there's a part of us still asleep. And so here's the end of it is, we really should wake up before He passes us by. Psalm 103 says this, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Get a hold of your soul and say, "What's wrong with you? Praise Him." How long has it been since you've praised the Lord with all your might? Now, seriously, honestly, before God, when's the last time you praised God with all your strength? I dare say I couldn't get 5%. Who ever have? I got to tell you about it, though. It's really, it'll wreck you. Let me just say that. You know, when David was out there, remember the story of David, man, he took off his clothes, had just a little thing on, was, woo! You know, he was gone. We were at a men's advance, a Full Gospel Businessmen. They meet out in Madison, and we were there. And their normal mode of worship, they have a little country-style band, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's not my speed. How many of you youth know you've ever been in a worship service where the music was not your speed? I've been there. But that day, for some reason, I was just impressed prior to the thing that a friend of mine and I got together and we prayed. We just prayed for the worship. I don't know what possessed us. We were there. We were getting ready to go to Africa and do some wild stuff. And so we were kind of preparing our hearts for that. But God just moved in and said, "Hey, why don't you pray for the worship today?" So I was like, "All right, let's pray." We pray, "God, you know, let's have worship." And I just didn't really think anything of it until afterward. We went to the meeting that night, and just shortly afterward, and we began to praise the Lord. And the guy they had up there was this old African-American kind of gospel singer, which was even further not my style. You know what I mean? It was just like he was singing. But I want to tell you something. In the middle of his singing, suddenly, it was like heaven opened up for me, and I could see how much Jesus was enjoying this. I got it. And we began to feed off each other. I could see Jesus, and I was like, "Oh, you, man." And so I joined in, and we were singing the high praises. Well, I thought I was just having my own private little party, as often I do. But what happened was, we got to praising the Lord. And I've never, never in my life, I've never seen anything like it. We began to sing and shout, and I praised the Lord so hard, I had nothing left. I couldn't shout, couldn't whistle. I whistled, that's all I could do. I couldn't shout, I couldn't speak. I was just like, we were praised out. And this was not normal for these guys. This is kind of the, you know, the snowy-haired crew, you know. And the guy got up and he said, "Oh, man, that was really great," and tried to take the service. And the praise wouldn't quit. We were just going crazy. And so he sat down. Three times he tried to get the meeting and could not get it. I have no good explanation for that other than heaven broke open. We connected and we were all just kind of transported. But we praised him with all our might. I recommend that. I recommend that highly. Try that. Get alone with God and praise him. I do it here in the mornings. And so if you ever walk in and hear a strange noise, that's probably me. But tell your soul, praise the Lord. Look at this one, Psalm 42. "Why so downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed?" What's wrong with you? Put your hope in God. You see that? Can you see that? That your heart, you need to say to your soul, "I don't care if you feel asleep. Get up. The lover's knocking. What's wrong with you? Sit there like a lump." Talk to yourself that way. Tell your soul, "I'm not doing that. My heart's right. You're wrong. I'm going for the lover. I'm going to get up and open the latch. If I hear anything rustling outside, I'm up out of my bed and I'm going to open that door." Because when she got there, there was myrrh on the lock, you know. They used to do that. When I came by to see you and you weren't home, I'd put a little perfume on the lock, and that way you knew I was there. She got there, and it was myrrh. It wasn't the lover. It was just lover had been there. We don't want that. I don't ever want that. I don't ever want to miss Jesus, ever. I've missed him before. I've seen him just walk right on by. I am not doing that again, ever. That's just me personally. We will wake up. When I began to prepare this message, the Lord just gave me a few things that I think are prophetic. I just want to say them to you. A new time is coming. There is a time coming right now where the passive will become active. We are going in a transition time from where we are passive to where we are active. We're going to see, and he just specifically said the youth in the adult service. It's not an adult service. See, I think they were prophesying a little bit this morning. You saw them kind of engage a little more. I think they're ahead. Hallelujah. For youth that's ahead. See, I don't even have to preach that now because y'all are already there. We had the two little kids dancing, you know. I think that's what God is saying. We're going to all dance like children. We're going to come to that place where we are in love with Jesus, and we don't care what people think. We tell our soul, hey, you remember how David, I don't have time to get into it, but David had that whole interchange with Michael. You remember that? And she put him down for the way he did. And he said, hey, I'll become even more undignified. You didn't like that? I got lots more where that came from. And God cursed her and blessed him. You know, that God is going to bring us into that time. We're going to move from our heads to our hearts. He's going to do it. We tend to be a heady bunch. You know, we live up in here some. But God is going to, he's going to pull it right down in here. And we're going to start to see that happen. Our singing is going to turn into worship. Listen, I say this to my children all the time. This is our watch. Right now, if anybody's going to praise the Lord, it's me. We're going to praise the Lord. And you know, you can try to do it half-heartedly, but I don't recommend it. What's he worthy of? Let's just praise him just for what he's worthy of. Let's don't do any more than that. Let's cut him off at where he's worthy. But don't do any less. He deserves it all. He deserves the big praise. Praise him with all you've got. We're going to come into that time, and our praise is going to turn into prophecy. We're going to connect with heaven. Youth, I want you guys to hear me. We're going to connect with heaven, and we're going to begin to see and do things. We're going to, just like this morning, see, I think that was an excellent picture. You were ahead. You're going to bring it in. You're going to be ahead. But you can't just coast and say, oh, this is the adult service. No, sir. There's no more of that. Stops today. It's a new time. We are connected with heaven, every one of us. So we've got to mirror what's going on in heaven. We've got to be in on that. Our boredom is going to turn to zeal. Our leaning back is going to be leaning forward. You feel the shift? It's coming. The Dead Sea. And you need to get that. You need to get the picture. You know, the Dead Sea, the reason it's dead is because everything flows in, nothing flows out. We've had a lot of inflow. I'm just telling you, I've had a lot flow into me. I get a lot of feeding and a lot of stuff and a lot of whatever. Well, that time is going to change to where it's not only flowing in, but it's flowing out. And so I'm enriched all the same, even more, but it's coming out. We're gonna see that. This period is coming up. And we're going to lose our respectability. Somebody say amen. We're going to lose our respectability. We're going to love the Lord, and people aren't going to get it exactly, but that's going to be okay. I can tell you, the very first time I ever came into a service where people were full of the Spirit, I sat on the very back row and I thought, God, if you ever get me out of here, I swear I'll never come back. These people are nuts, and I don't get anything. But before the service was over, I said, God, I still don't understand any of it. But these guys are on to something. They're plugged in. They've got something I don't have. They love you. They're connected. So I think God is going to lift off of us that fear of being misunderstood and the need to explain everything. And we're going to just start lining up with heaven. We're going to connect, and what they're doing, we'll do. And the world will see and be amazed. Like he says, they'll come among us and go, God is truly among you when everybody's prophesying. Amen? I want to just end and just repeat the Lord's words to you. I'm trying to coax you to live out of your heart. I know you're asleep. I know you've washed yourself. I know you don't want to get up. But listen, it's not time to live out of your soul. It's not time to listen to the fussy self-interest. It's time to listen to that heart, because your heart's right. Your heart is right. It knows. Will you live from there? You'll be different. It'll be different for you at work. It'll be different for you for sure in church. He's trying to get you to live out of your heart, because he's zealous for you and he wants to have reciprocity. He wants it to be a two-way street. Amen. Now the elders had a word. I think Glenn's going to come, and Stephen.
Is it on? This morning, when Joe was leading worship, and he started off by just talking about repentance, and I was thinking about John the Baptist. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is near. And then he went on to say, you know, I baptize with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals are not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I just started thinking about that, meditating, and I felt the Lord say that that was something that he wanted to do for some people today. Lance has preached a word. Thank you, Lance, for that word. And, you know, I think for a lot of us, there's a sense that we're living out of our heads, maybe, and not out of our hearts. There's a sense of which we need some power in our life. And the good news, a part of the good news, is that the Lord has sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper. And in Acts 2, it says, and Peter was preaching, and then they said, the people heard this, and they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I just felt that that there was an opportunity this morning. There always is, but specifically I felt the Lord call out and say, there is an opportunity. He wants, there's some of you today that needs that touch of the Holy Spirit on your life. And I just wanted to share that, and we'll close the service, but I think we wanted to create an opportunity for anyone who would want that touch of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the elders and the deacons will be up front for anyone who feels that's what you need. That's what you need.
So, yeah, I agree. So if the ministry team, elders and deacons, please come up here. I think we will close the service now. But those that would love